presence, power in this building. Well, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but the Lord told me, he said, pay attention to me and do what I tell you to do, and don't worry about the results, and don't worry about what anybody thinks about you. So I don't know what that means, but we're going to find out here in just a few minutes exactly what that means tonight. What a great crowd on Saturday night right here in the house of God. Let's give the Lord another hand clap for everybody showing up on a Saturday night. You may be seated. Praise God. Sunday night, I'm standing there worshiping God, and the Lord spoke to me and said, Sunday night, tell my people that if they really want to be used by me in these last days in the supernatural and the gifts of the Spirit, to show up Sunday night expecting me to release upon them the 9 gifts of the Spirit so that they can walk in the Holy Ghost and be used to God. We got to get out of this thing where we're worried about who's going to get what and you know, if we're going to fail or mess up. If you're sincere and your heart is sincere, you always check yourself. You always want to make sure that you're exactly in the Lord. And the Lord doesn't hold that against you as doubt. God always gives me a confirmation. I don't just fly off the handle. But whatever God speaks to me, I'm ready to obey it. And God gives me a confirmation. And I go forward and I believe God. And Sunday night, I'll be laying hands on, I'm not going to say everybody, but it could be everybody. I'm going to be laying hands on people Sunday night. God's going to be releasing the gifts of the Spirit in the measure that you're walking in. What people never hear taught is that whatever gift you have operates on the level of your obedience and your prayers and your yielding to God. One week, you could be really seeking God, walking in the supernatural and loving God, and your gifts will be just totally at an elevated area. But you start slacking up, letting up. You're still saved, and you're going to church, but the level of your abilities change. Everything moves in the degree of your consecration to God. And that's where a lot of these modern churches today that call themselves Pentecost have large numbers of people. But the people just between services, they're not, you know, they're just not loving the Lord like they need to, walking with God and seeking the face of God, trying to live a holy life and trying to do what God wants. And, you know, they have a great band. They have a great sound. They have a great gathering. I preach in some of the churches, and believe it, I have to work so desperately hard to get miracles to happen in those congregations. The level of God's operation in my life rises and falls with my daily faith and my daily obedience. I can go out and sin and sneak around, but it'll show up. You know, you may not see it, but I'll know it, and the devil knows it, and God will know it. And so I've got to try my best to live my life for the Lord. I want to do that anyway, not just so I can preach or I can pray for people and get miracles. You know, I want to do that because I love the Lord. This is a daily walk, isn't it? Everybody say, not a Sunday walk, but it's a daily walk with God. And there's joy in that. There's happiness in that. But Sunday night, if you really want God to really use you, then you go get you some olive oil and you come to church Sunday night, bring some olive oil. I'm going to tell you what to do with that. I'm going to be anointing and praying over people's olive oil Sunday night. God's going to use you. I got several prophetic words from God that God's going to do things for people on Sunday night. Now, don't freak out. Don't get sidetracked because you've never heard it before. Nobody's ever said this before. If you have lost loved ones that are sick or lost loved ones that they're not saved and they need miracles from God, if you will bring a picture of them, or if you will have a picture on your phone, your iPhone, Sunday night we'll be anointing pictures of your loved ones and decreeing and declaring miracles over them. We'll point them out. I'm going to preach something. It'll make all the sense in the world. I promise you. It'll be biblical. I'll show you why God's telling us to do this. If you have any kind of needs outside the service, outside the church that can't come to church, if you want to see people healed, you want to see people delivered, then bring handkerchiefs with you Sunday night, and we'll be anointing those handkerchiefs. You can bring 4 or 5. You can bring whatever you want to bring. And the Lord, we're going to be anointing them, and God's going to be doing miracles the rest of this year from things that's going to happen on Sunday night here in this church. If you want to operate in the highest levels of faith, be here Sunday night. If you have a minister friend that is in ministry and they're not in church on Sunday night, you tell them to come here, that God's going to anoint their ministry and God's going to start using them in great and powerful ways in these last days. One of the, if not the greatest men I have ever met in my entire life was a man that spoke to me about dreams and visions that he had. His name was T.W. Barnes, and he told me of dreams and visions. He named in 1999, he named the seven men that God was using in a great, powerful way. And he named every one of them. I knew who they were. But he said, but we will see the day that 100 men will be used in the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural. And he said, the only churches that will be experiencing explosion and revival are those who walk in the supernatural and believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, you don't have to worry about somebody in our churches getting carnal and trying to pretend they're in the gifts. There's enough wet blankets in our churches to put out any fire that's not of God. Trust me, there's enough skepticism and doubt and unbelief. I mean, I face it every service. I just ignore it because the devil hates you to ignore him more than anything in the world. If you're married more than 2 or 3 years, you know what I'm talking about. And we're not definitely not calling our wives devils, because the opposite of what I'm going to tell you would happen. And I'm fearful Sister Winslow might be watching this. But when your wife starts getting quiet, and she says nothing's wrong with her, and she's not talking to you, there's something wrong. And it's real major when she won't tell you what it is. Go ahead and confess to every crime from A to Z, and just repent and bawl and squall, and she might let you in that bedroom. But if not, the couch. That's why when you go with your wife to buy the sofa and lay on it a little bit before you buy it. Check it out just in case you may have to sleep on that sofa a few nights during the coming years. God's going to do great things in this service. God showed me this service. Today, this afternoon, I was taking a nap and just trying to kind of doze a little bit. I had a dream about this service, and God spoke to me about this service and showed me exactly what I'm supposed to do in this service and how he's going to work in this place. So we're going to get right in line with God and try to do everything that God wants us to do. How many believe we ought to do that? Real quickly, I'm going to give you something before we start preaching. The seven battles that everyone must win. Not the last three revivals, but several revivals, God has spoke to me about these seven things. I believe, Brother Tom, I think I spoke about them last week. And the seven battles everyone must win: the battle of your faith, the battle for your money, the battle for your mind, the battle for your family. We're going to take care of that Sunday night. The battle of your integrity and the battle of your love. And number seven, the battle of your ministry. The battle of your faith. You have to always make sure that you're putting something into your faith that feeds your faith and makes your faith strong. You have to learn how to starve your doubts and not give your doubts any strength. There's one thing that God gives us permission to do: doubt our doubts. I quit doubting my faith and started doubting my doubts, and my faith has become stronger by doing it. And so you have to feed your faith, you have to protect your faith. You never tell a doubter a dream that God has given you. You never tell a doubter a commandment God spoke to you about. You never tell a doubter something that the voice of God spoke to you, because they will ridicule it. They will doubt it. They will talk behind your back about it. They will sabotage your faith and do everything they can to stop it. There's some people I don't talk gifts of the Spirit or faith or anything of that nature. One night after a great service we were in, several preachers were in that service visiting from the surrounding areas. And one man had come there, and He's a good man, but he came there and he just did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit. He believed in miracles, but he believed in the kind of miracles where you beg and 1 out of 100 gets it. That you put oil on people's head, but don't really expect anything to really happen. But to believe that you could actually on purposely speak something that you need and to have faith and speak to your mountain, didn't believe in it. I didn't know him, but God spoke to me during the service while I was preaching and told me to ignore him. And that I would sense and feel great insecurity and great doubt in his mind and spirit. So after church, we go out to eat, and all the ministry are asking questions about the supernatural. And how does God work, and how does God operate? We'll be talking about some of that Sunday night. We can't pray for you to be used of God without giving a little bit of instruction about the gifts of the Spirit. You'll hear things Sunday night you never heard about the gifts of the Spirit. And so, I didn't let it bother me. I knew exactly where he was coming from. I watched him during that meal, and he was just trying to find the right time and the right place to say something negative. I didn't take it personal. And so all of a sudden he says to me, "Well, if you come to our church, you will not prophesy good things to everybody." He said, "You will find the sin that's in the church hidden, and you will dig it up, and you will bring fear on everybody." And I said, "Well, I'm going to start with you. You'll be the first one." And he looked at me and he said, "I don't have any," and he got the S out, but he didn't get the IN out. Because at least he had enough sense to recognize he was not perfect. And that if he had not committed some sins, it was because of the grace of God that was upon him and that was keeping him. And so he shut his mouth and zipped it up. I did not say that to put him on the defense. I didn't say that to even shut him up. I said it because it's the truth. If he wanted it dug out of the church, then it has to start in the highest place. Your sin and your repentance is a personal thing between you and God. We are not priests. We are preachers. And we don't have a confessional booth that you come into and that you confess. If you think it'll help you, if you want help from the man of God to give you strength and to help you, if you want to show yourself to the man of God that you want to do what's right, that's different in explaining where your weakness is, what you're battling. But we don't set up booths in the house of God, and you don't come to us, and we don't go looking for your sins. We preach the cross, the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness and remission of sins, water baptism in the name of Jesus, for the removal of all sins, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost to keep you from sin. And that's what we believe, and that's what we preach. He said, "Well, I heard of a preacher that could tell people their sins. You can illegally do a lot of things. I could tell you tonight that God wanted me to do this or do that. And maybe God didn't tell me. And if he didn't tell me, that didn't mean God was going to back that." I've been asked to preach in denominational churches. I don't make a habit of it. I pray about it. I preach whatever God gives me. And I tell them that. I tell them I will not come in and try to create problems, but I'm going to preach whatever God gives me, whatever that might be. But I'm not going to come in and I'm not going to cause trouble, and I'm not going to come in and just try to persuade everybody to believe what I believe. But I'm going to be honest. I'm going to preach. And I've heard them get up and talk about God's love, and I felt the anointing. But I've heard them talk about Trinity, three co-equal gods, never felt a thing. Preach about once saved, always saved. Never felt 1 ounce of the anointing of God. God will not anoint a lie. He will not stand behind a preacher that is not preaching what the Word of God says. So we have to preach the Word of God. I have to preach tonight what God gives me. I have, and I bring them with me, wherever I go. I have several messages God has spoke to me, and I've written them down, and I've never preached them yet. I will preach them one day. The ones I don't preach are for me. But I have to preach whatever God gives me. It has to be God's way. If we could just get back to that, to letting God be the God of the church, the God of our pocketbook. I would not even begin to tell you of the miracles that God has done for me in my life, in the simplicity of my faith, in the battle of my faith and believing God. But these seven great things are things you should memorize and write them down and put them someplace you can see them and say to yourself, I will never let anyone or any circumstance affect my faith. I don't let when God's going to do the miracle affect my faith. I don't let if God's going to do it affect my faith. I don't let someone's opinion of me affect my faith. When I walk in this building or in any church and I get behind the pulpit, I'm going to do what God asked me to do. No matter who likes it or doesn't like it, I'm going to be as honest and sincere and truthful about everything that I can possibly be. Because I have to battle for my faith. There are demons and spirits that want to destroy the faith of the church. There's never been so much of a revealing of the Antichrist like we've been seeing the last few years. And the devil's not going to stop. He's not going to stop with late term pregnancy. There's going to be a time that people are going to start pushing. The annihilation of the elderly and the sick. And they'll call it mercy killings, just like they call abortion Christianity and the love of God. Can you believe we've actually hear people say in the media that it is Christian to take the life of an unborn child? Can you believe that? They're actually saying that. One of our ex-presidents and his family, I won't even mention their names, mentioned that it was Christian to take the life of a child. How many preachers have been aborted? How many missionaries have been aborted? How many people that one day would have discovered a cure for a disease or a sickness? How many generations? When you take one life, you don't just take that one life, but you take every life that would have been born in the future of that child. What right does any of us have to touch what belongs to God? I don't even know why I'm on this tonight, and it's not something that I talk about very much. And in liberal California, it's probably not the best place to talk about things like this. But it's in my heart, it's in my spirit. And if you're in this church and something, you know someone and they've done that, you know what? We don't judge people. We don't hold their past against them. God forgives you. You let it go, and don't you let the devil use it on you. I'm serious. This church is about forgiveness. And there has to be that. It has to be an abundance of forgiveness. I'd rather over forgive than under forgive anything or anyone. Right? Show forgiveness. Show forgiveness to visitors and guests and people. I mean, last night was a demonstration of the great power of forgiveness in the service last night. You just don't realize the kind of battles that were won last night in that service last night. It was unbelievable. The battle of your faith. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to let my faith live. Tell somebody, no one's taking my faith. Number two, the battle of your money. When God speaks to you, when the man of God asks for something, it's in your power to do it, then you battle for your future blessing will never be sufficient enough in your own power. You're going to have the help of the Almighty God in your home, your house, and your everyday keeping up of your household. And in your future, you're going to need the finances of God and the miracles of God. And that's how you battle for your money. Number three, your mind. Do not let things get in your mind that don't belong there. Have a door to your mind Have a guard at your door. And don't let things get in your mind. Don't contemplate things that are going to defeat you. Number four, your family. Find the strength to believe God for your family. And never give up. If you have to take a 2-week hiatus and not think about them for 2 weeks because they're just not doing what you're praying, do what you have to do, but get back in the fight and stand there for your family and intercede for them. Your integrity weighs heavy with God. When no one would know, when no one sees you, when no one's around you, the weight of your character weighs very powerfully with God when he knows you could do it and get away with it, but you don't do it. Number six, your love. If you're a Democrat, love a Republican. If you're a Republican, love a Democrat. Oh my God. Some of you going, oh, ouch. I know there's some real ornery ones that are just, man, they just love to argue like crazy. But love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. I had a neighbor one time years ago. I moved in the neighborhood. I had two bird dogs, and at that time I had four kids. And the first time I met him, he said, there's two things I hate, dogs and kids. That's what he told me. 3 months of putting up with all kinds of nastiness from him. One day my wife comes in crying. I'm studying the Word of God. She comes in, she's crying. She don't want to tell me. Finally, she told me. I walked out the back door, looked over, there he was, motioned for him to come to the fence, grabbed him by the collar of his shirt, and I said, I'm going to punch you. And I said, when I do, I'm going to feel real bad, and I'm going to ask God to forgive me, and he's going to forgive me. And then I'm going to feel good again. He said, you mean that? I said, yes, I do. Can you believe that? I mean, that should not be the answer to anything. And he became so nice after that. His wife later told my wife, I knew the guy was a preacher. I could get away with anything. Well, that wasn't right. What I did was not right. But I'm glad that God's a forgiving God, right? And that he does forgive. And anyway, all I was guilty of was grabbing his shirt. I didn't actually punch him. But I really wanted to. Hallelujah. I was trying to figure what would be worse, cuss him out and ask God to forgive me or actually whip him. And I figured punching would be better than cussing. But I didn't either one. And I've grown a lot since then. Don't get on my dogs and don't get on my kids tonight. Integrity. Your love. Number seven, your ministry. I'm going to say this tonight, and I mean it. Everybody in this building has a ministry. Everybody. The Bible talks about the ministry of saints. I heard a man in 1973 preach the ministry of saints. In 1973, the United Pentecostal Church did not believe in the ministry of saints. 1973, most of the UPC preachers and preachers of that day believed they should do all the praying for everybody. They believed that no one should be using the gifts of the Spirit but them. Everything was to be done by them and through them. And so the revivals were so limited. We're getting at a place that we recognize that our wives are part of the ministry team. Now, if you want to be a 1920 child of God, preach everything about women against them, go ahead if you want to, but that's not biblical and it's not the day we live in. We need everybody in the house of God pulling this thing toward the rapture of the church. We need praise from the young people, praise from mom and dads, grandma and grandpa need to fire up the wheelchair, take a lap in Jesus' name, and we need everybody obeying God. Am I right? Everybody obeying God and being used to God. Get that nonsense out of your mind Are the wives of ministry in this day are great blessings, and they have great ability, and they have great power with God, and they make great biscuits and tortillas and things of that nature. And why would I ever condemn a biscuit maker? No way, Jose. So those are the seven battles that everyone must win. Tonight is such a key time in this revival, and tonight's such a key time in your life, that in a space of 5 minutes, somewhere God's going to give you such an anointed 5 minutes that it's going to change your life forever. It's going to change the way you see everything about the kingdom of God. It's going to set you free. It's going to re-anoint you and reappoint you into the realm of the supernatural tonight. For 5 minutes, there's going to be a supernatural breakthrough in this church that's going to set everybody where they're supposed to be. God's going to let you jump all the king's men, and you're going to put the enemy in check tonight. And God's going to restore things in your life so quick in 5 minutes. God's going to do some powerful, great things in this church. Get ready for it. The things that you've been battling, you're not going to battle them no more. The place where you're at, where you feel like you're defeated, there's a few people here tonight that just barely hanging on, don't know they can make another month. You're going to go out of this place tonight full of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to look for those spirits that's been trying to put you down and discourage you. God said, everybody in this house tonight that will let me, I'm going to anoint you, and you're not going to be discouraged or despondent or oppressed no more. It's over. And you're going to walk in the joy of God like these pastors do every day and I do every day. You're going to walk in the joy of God every day in the middle of your greatest battles. You're going to enjoy it and give God praise. Now, open the Word of God with me tonight in this service. And 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 1. 1 Samuel 30 and verse number 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites, and these Amalekites were one of the chief enemies of Israel, church, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. I want you to get this in your mind. And this is not evangelistically speaking. The city had been burned to the ground. Everything they had produced, earned, stored up, everything that was about their future and their present tense, everything, every house, every belonging, every memory, everything was burned up, burned to the ground. If there is a picture of this scripture in your mind that you need to set, see a city completely burned, blackened, ashes. The wind creating little whirls of ashes going up in the air. The black soot on their sandals and their feet and their hands and their legs and in their nostril and in their mouth. No food. Nothing stored, no kids, no wives. While they were gone to battle the Amalekites, they had come in behind them. Now, God told me tonight, I'm going to be the backup for everybody in this church. And the enemy is not sneaking up on anybody else and surprising anyone in this church tonight. God is going to be your reward. And burned it with fire and had taken the women captives, and they were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. They took their family captive. The only thing that could have been worse was to see their black and burnt bodies laying in the ashes of Ziklag. But to think that they would be turned into slaves, that their little kids would become servants, that their wives would have become prostitutes, that they would have labored all their life in the camps of the Amalekites. They've been tortured, beaten, made fun of all the days of life. Could you live with that if you knew that your child had been kidnapped and was sold into sex slavery? What would you think every day? How would you feel every day when you rise up? Think about your beautiful daughter had been caught away, or your beautiful son who was turned into sexual homosexuality, and their lives every day was being tortured, and there was nothing you could do about it. I cannot think of anything that torments a child of God or a person anymore than to face circumstances that will not change, breakthroughs that will not come, healings that are promised but are never received, words of God that are always on the outside but never penetrate and never get inside, victories that are supposed to be won but are never won. God said, tonight I'm going to give you a breakthrough. I'm going to flex my muscle. The arm of the Lord is going to be revealed. I'm going to show up tonight. If you will show up, if you'll praise me, if you'll dig in tonight, if you'll make a decree unto me, God, I want victory, and I want victory now, and I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I will not worship in lethargy. I will not live in Laodicea. I will not accept the Amalekite victory in my house, in my family, in my ministry. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise, everybody. Lift your hands to the Lord.
Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight.
Woo! Boy, I tell you what, the ones that were going to try to make it tonight, they're going to miss a great service tonight. God's going to set everything right. They're taking the women captives and that were therein, and they slew not any. They carried them away, and they went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city. And when they got there, it was burning with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Could you imagine your wife coming home one day and somebody stole her, burned your house down, destroyed everything in your house, every photo, every memory, everything that you had obtained through a life of work? How would you feel about that? So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters. We must have revival. We must return to become revivalist in every service. Got to get this out of our mind that we can't have it every time we walk in. I'm tired of hearing pastors proclaim, well, we got to have teaching. We've taught ourselves to we're blind with teaching. We've ate so much of the table of God that we're fat and we can't move in the spirit and we can't do anything. We don't need any more burping. We don't need any more patting the backs of people. We need to get vigilant, on fire for God, full of the Holy Ghost, and tell our enemies what you have done, you'll never do again. I will not sit in the ashes of defeat. I will not accept the burning of my house and the captive of my family. I will not accept a generation that wants to disown God and shut down the Holy Ghost. Starting tonight, I'm going to get on fire for God. I'm going to let my voice rise up and pray and praise. I'm going to believe in the supernatural. You are the most dangerous weapon to the devil in 2019. This church, your praise, your worship, your faith in God. Oh, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you who the devil fears more than anybody else. He fears these young men. He fears these young men, these young women in this church, because they have strength and they have vigor and they have vision and they're bored. And God loves to get bored people and put them to work. Huh? My grandkids come over, "Papa, we're bored." I said, "I never said that to my grandma and grandpa." "Well, you wasn't bored." I said, "Yes, I was. But I knew if I said I'm bored, I wouldn't be bored long after I started sweeping and cleaning and mowing and pulling weeds out of the garden. I never said I was bored." I said, "My grandmother, my grandpa, my mother, my dad never heard our generation say we was bored, because if we did, we were put to work." So we never owned up to it. "No way, Jose. Not gonna do it." But God loves it when you are bored with life. I mean, how much joy is in a bottle of whiskey? How much fun is really in a needle? Honestly, how much fun is really in immorality when you have to hang your head down? When you see your kids, your wife, how much greatness is it in a life? What glory is it in a saint of God that no longer fights? That is no threat to the devil. If you're in this building and you've laid down your cross and you've laid down your sword and you are no danger to the devil, then it's a free for all. Any spirit, any demon, anything can come against your house. But I've learned that when you let the devil know, "You burn my house, you take my kids, you take my husband, you take my wife," you will find the wrath of the Spirit of the power of a living God on the inside of me. I'll dance twice as much. I'll jump twice as high. I'll worship with great intensity. We are raising up sissy lalas for God. We're raising up churches that don't know how to speak the faith of God and how to war in the Spirit. Well, you wouldn't dare let someone break in your house and take something that belonged to you. I don't know about every other man in here, but you walk into my house and you want to take something. I live in Texas. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say nothing else. I've got a little card behind my driver license. I don't let just anybody see it. If you want to break into somebody's house or you want to steal somebody's car, you better have armor on. It's a Wild West show going on out there. I'm telling you that right now. Just a couple of months ago, somebody went into a store to rob the store, and everybody in the store had guns. And all of a sudden, 15 people pulled out weapons and said, "Get on the floor." And I want you to know, he got on the floor. I don't advocate that. I've got a permit. I don't carry it with me. Don't tell anybody that. I was almost made to be ashamed not to have a permit to carry a concealed weapon. I'm sitting at a table in Texas preaching a couple years ago, and the pastor says, "Do you have a concealed weapon permit?" I said, "No, I don't. I don't want to go to hell." He said, "You ain't going to hell carrying a gun. You only use it when you have to." I said, "Well, you don't want to use a gun. I don't want to shoot nobody." "But if they're wanting to do something to your wife, what would you do? Pray?" I said, "Well, yes, I'm going to pray while I cock the gun. Yes, I'm going to pray that my aim will be straight. I'm not going to shoot them in the head. I might shoot them somewhere else." And because of that, I'm telling you, there's certain areas of Texas that crime is down low. I tell all my kids, don't get somebody cuts you off or you accidentally cut somebody off and they want to pull you over. You don't stop. You don't argue. You don't, not in Texas. You don't get on, go on down the road. It's no big deal. You pull down from them, you shouldn't have done it. Just wave, I'm sorry. But don't pull over and get out of your car. No, don't do that kind of stuff. And that's almost anywhere. But I want you to know tonight, and I want you to believe me, that when the devil realizes he cannot break into your house without suffering, without coming against an immovable object, and he knows that he's going to get the wrath of God come down on him when he sees a church that will not have a dead service, that will not have a dead worship service, when he sees a church that doesn't wait for music or wait for the preacher to preach, and they come in with the power of the Holy Ghost. Preaching in this church, and a country church, big church, but a country church. And I preached one night. I said, you don't have to take nothing off the devil. He's a liar. He's a good for nothing. I said, you use the power of the name of Jesus and the glory of God, and you have rights, and you know, you don't sit down in the ashes of your defeat, and you get up off the ashes and you get out of there and you do something just like David's going to do in this verse. You don't let the devil come and do anything and rob and do anything in the spirit realm. You rise up in faith. And you do it. You find a way to believe God and to worship God. And I preached that night, and this little lady goes home, and she'd been getting beat up by her husband every night at church. He didn't want her to get home after 9:15. And the Holy Ghost would move, and she'd come home late, and she'd start coming to church with black eyes and everything. And I preached one night along those lines, and she went home, and her husband said, come on, get your whipping. You know, he was an alcoholic. He was drunk, and he slapped her around and said, tomorrow night you better be home before 9:15. And he's in a drunken stupor, goes and lays in the bed. And she's in the kitchen bawling, squalling. She said, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Devil, I'm not going to let you beat up on me. And all of a sudden she looked down, saw a black skillet, walked in there and crowned him with that skillet, and even had the audacity to say, in the name of Jesus. All I could say is, praise the Lord, there wasn't a gun laying on the counter or a baseball bat. She said, I'll show you what cornbread can do. Huh? That's what a black skillet's good for in the South. Make some of the best yellow cornbread you ever seen in your life. Put that old butter in there, it's melting on the side. Yee-haw! Come on, somebody. Cornbread. Mustard greens, turnip greens. Huh? Yeah, Mexican people can't say nothing because you got some good nopales. I'm going to tell you right now, I done ate some good stuff. Don't ever buy that stuff at the store. It's horrible. Well, I don't want to get sidetracked. And so she goes, in Jesus' name, boing. That's a little exaggeration there. And next morning he gets up, wah. And he was drunk that night, and he goes, oh, I must have fell at the bar. No, you didn't. I must have fell coming up the steps of the porch. No, you didn't. I must have fell out of the bed last night. No, you didn't. Well, then, woman, what did I do, since it seemed like you know what I didn't do? You beat me up last night for the last time because I came home late from church. And I got news for you, buddy. I'll be home tonight when I want to get home. I'm not out at a bar. I'm not drinking. I'm not having sex with my neighbors. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm going to church loving God and serving God, trying to raise my kids to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, you go to church tonight and come in late, you'll get another one. And she said, and you'll be drunk tonight and you'll go to sleep. And when you wake up tomorrow, you'll have another one look just like it on the other side of your head. And he said, I don't know what in the world has gotten into you. You just cannot go back to that revival anymore. It is driving you crazy. She said, no, it's driving me sane. Why would any woman get a beating for coming home at 9:15? That's serving God. So you do whatever you want to do, but you'll get another one tomorrow. And then you'll, she said this, and you'll look like your daddy the devil. The second week of that revival, she stood up and testified about it. And I got up and I said, hey sister, that was not what I preached. That wasn't it. That was not in my message. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. She told me after church that God gave me a revelation. Sometimes you have to use physical objects to do spiritual battle. I said, I ain't touching that. That's between you and your God. But I'll tell you what happened. Next week, not that week, but the next week, the man walks in the door. I'd never met him before. Stood there and looked at her, bib overalls on. Looks at her a few minutes. And walks down the altar. I mean, I'm preaching. It's not altar call time. And walks down there and falls in that altar and starts snotting and blowing snot everywhere and crying and wrestling on the floor. And some of the women, you know, you get to women, and some of the women jumped on him and started casting devils. I don't even know if he had a devil, but they started casting devils out of him and everything you could think of. They drug his carcass up to the baptistry and they put him in the baptistry. The women did. Don't you women know? There ain't nothing nobody can do with you in here. If you want to shout, ain't nothing we can do with you. If you want to dance, ain't nothing we can do with you. If you want to cast devils out, what are we going to do with you? We can't do anything. If we touch you, we go to jail. You can dance. You can jump. You can shout. You can praise. You can believe. You can have faith. And if nothing else, quit waiting on your husband. Get out there and let God have his way and let shame get him up off of his do nothing. I'm not letting a woman out worship me. I can tell you that right now. Wednesday night, if I'm home, I go to church like anybody else does. And Sister Wendell getting there and getting to worshiping. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, this is your church, huh? She said, yes, it is. It's my church. I said, I'm hardly here, right? She said, that's right. It's my church. I said, well, I got news for you, sis. You ain't out worshiping me. I said, get ready. I'm fixed to wind this toy up, and it's fixed to get loose. And I said, oh, come on, God. I can't pretend. Send the fire. If you don't, I'm going to get whooped down by a woman here right now. I said, come on, fire of the Holy Ghost. And I mean, it showed up, and the Holy Ghost got on me, and I started shouting and dancing and praising. And I looked over there, and she was shouting and dancing and praising, and she cut out me. I cut out her. And my God, I mean, boy, the pastor said, man, you and Sister Winslow had one move of God tonight, didn't you? I said, who do you think won? He said, what? What do you mean won? I said, never mind. I said, I'll find out when I get in the car who won. Folks, it's time to get up out of the ashes. It's time to say to God, the devil, and everybody around, I'm going to use everything God's got. I'm getting a new attitude, a new anointing, a fresh breakthrough in my life. I'm going to start walking in the supernatural. I'm going to hold the hands of the man of God up. It's the last time he's ever having to preach by himself. I'm going to preach him to death. I'm going to preach him down. I'm going to say amen. I'm going to tell everybody I see and everybody I know about the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell my loved ones, you are getting saved. Say it and mean it. A few years ago, my sister called me on the phone and said, Gordon said, Jimbo's not going to church anymore. I said, I know he's not. And she said, well, he's got a motorcycle and he's riding in a motorcycle gang. I said, Jim? Yes, he's in a motorcycle gang. She said, he's doing drugs and selling drugs. And he's at a biker bar almost every night. I said, my brother Jim? Yeah, and I mean, you guys probably don't know this or ever heard of this bike group called the Bandidos, but it's a big southern motorcycle gang. And he's riding with the bandidos. And he's trying to become a member of it. I can't forget what they call it when you're kind of on a little trial, you know, to see if you could get in. And so I said, well, in a few days, I'm going to be over that way. I'm going to go see him. Went by his house. He wasn't there. Went to that biker bar that my sister told me about. There he was standing out front, drinking out of a whiskey bottle, smoking, had all the paraphernalia on, and there was about four or five banditos on the outside. There were some inside the bar, bikes everywhere. And I'm just going to walk up to him. I'm just going to say, come here, brother. I'm going to talk to you. I'm your brother, and I want to talk to you. But by the time I just got to thinking, there's no way I'm letting my brother go to hell. He's been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. He's not going to hell. I don't care what he's been going through. And he was going through some stuff, and it got him messed up. I said, it's not going to happen. By the time I'd worked myself up, I mean, here's these banditos around him. I walk in, finally he looks and recognizes me, and he gets this surprised look on his face. And I couldn't help it. All of a sudden, my hand, like Matt Dillon. What? My hand just came out like out of a scabbard. And I stuck that finger on his chest. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're not going to hell with all these bikers. And boy, the astonished look got on his face. He told me afterwards, called me on the phone when I left. He said, oh my God, when you said that, I thought at the least would happen, they're going to drag you behind the bar and beat the living daylights out of you. That's the least was going to happen to you. And I said on the phone when he called me, I said, they couldn't touch me. He said, there was so much God all around that place, because as soon as I brought my Holy Ghost pistol out, one shot does it all, and stuck it on his chest, the fire. Look, God's going to back you up when you walk in faith. Oh, I'm scared to say anything. Soon as you stand up and you stand up for God, you're going to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. And every devil and every demon in Tulare is going to know you cannot get away with anything with that church, and you cannot get away with anything in that saint of God's life. They will not permit it. They will not allow it. And I said, I don't care what you think. And I'm not exaggerating. I don't care what you think or what you say. You're getting back in church and you're getting saved. And that's it. Leave these losers. Get back with the house of God. Got in my car. I even peeled out. Seriously. When you're in a four-cylinder, you know. But it peeled. Little rocks there. If it was on asphalt, you wouldn't even know what, you know. Little four-cylinder Toyota. I showed them. I just threw that one rock like crazy out. That one rock went at least 3 or 4 feet. I showed them who the boss is. And I drove down that road, and that phone rang. He said, oh, my God, you're lucky. You're lucky. I said, no, I'm not lucky. No, they couldn't touch me. I said, you know better. You know what God's all about. I said, you're getting saved. I'm not talking no more to you. You're getting saved. It's done. It's finished. Wait a minute. I got a choice. I said, no, you don't. I took your choice away. You say, that's not biblical. I don't care. If it was biblical or not at that moment, I said it. I believed it. And 5 or 6, 7 days later, he has a motorcycle wreck. He's flying through the air. And while he's flying through the air, he's crying out for the mercy of God. He hits the ground, rolls over, and he says, God, if I can get up from this place and not be permanently damaged or whatever, I'm going to be in the house of God. That's it. I'm finished. I'm done. He kept his word. He left the emergency room, and he called the preacher. He went to the church, prayed through, got the baptism of the Holy Ghost again, and is preaching the word of God right now. I'm not advocating frying pans. I'm not advocating real pistols. But I'm telling you right now, you can't lose with the stuff that God's given you. You've got the faith. You've got the power. You've got the name of Jesus. You've got the glory of God. You've got the upper hand of the enemy. This city is ripe for the greatest revival it's ever seen. You need to tell the devil tonight, I'm not dying with sugar diabetes. You need to tell the devil, I'm not dying. My kidneys are not going to be diseased. My liver's not going to be diseased. My feet's going to get healed. You need to open your mouth up. Don't you wait for some old evangelist to call you out. You make a decree. I'm not sitting here in the ashes of my defeat. I am not sitting here anymore. I'm getting the Holy Ghost. I'm talking in tongues. I'm breaking out of this. In Jesus' name. You know, faith is not a feeling. Faith is not even an experience. Faith is a journey. We don't understand that. There are instantaneous miracles. But if you really looked at the gifts of the Spirit, you'd understand that a healing doesn't necessarily happen in a moment. A miracle does. You can ask for a miracle. If you don't get a miracle, believe for a healing. It's going to get better. I'm going to get better. I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk again. The pain's going to leave. Get up every day and declare it. I got healed one time. God made me get up every day and proclaim my healing. I didn't get it instantly. I was spoiled. I just get everything real quick. And one thing didn't happen. I was, my whole world's falling apart and God's forsaken me. God said, shut up. I'm not forsaking you. Stretch your faith a little bit. Daniel went through the lion's den. I brought him through it. Now start declaring your healing. And so I did right then. I just did what God told me. I said, by the holy name of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. Sister Winslow said, you healed? I said, yeah. Yes, I'm healed. Good, take the garbage out. I'm serious. I got this big garbage can and, you know, big tall thing. And you know, I just had to have a big piece of property. So I'm dragging it down the driveway about a country mile. And I'm struggling with it. And I come back in the house. She said, well, did you take? I saw her looking out through the curtain. She said, well, did you get it out there? You healed? I said, yeah, I'm healed. Glory to God. I said, I'm healed. But the third day, just like the resurrection, I said, Father, if I have to get up every day and declare it in Jesus' name and believe it, devil, you're a liar. I mean, the devil got tired of me jumping on him every morning. And God healed me and touched me, and I learned a lesson. That you have to be vigilant. You have to be on fire for God. You have to believe God. You'll get a job if you believe it. Amen. Right. I remember I got saved and you know, I had to quit being an outlaw. I couldn't sell drugs and I couldn't cheat people. I saw these chicks one night, some parsley flakes for marijuana. Bunch of dumb chicks. They saw me like a month later. Well, some more of that good stuff. I said, what the? I mean, I couldn't help it. It was so stupid. I had to confess. You crazy chicks. It was parsley. Nothing's that pure. I mean, just as green as it can be. And they're lighting it up. Oh, yeah, yeah, I got a buzz. No, you don't. You dummy. There is no, there's nothing as pure as green as parsley. Look at parsley, you guys. You can't. That's. After I walked away, they said, "Oh, look at that. That's real pure. No seed, no stem. Look how green it is. Hello, put that in a salad. Don't smoke it." But you know what? When they told me that, I said, "I got some more of that good stuff." I said, "Give me a minute." I went down to Safeway. Got a couple of bags of parsley. I said, now this stuff's going to cost you now. It's look how green it is. Huh? I couldn't do that no more, folks. And my wife said, you got a record, you'll never get a job. And you know what? God had filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I went to this place to get a job. And the guy said, well, we're not hiring. I said, well, man, I got to have a job. I said, I'll be the best worker you've got here. And nobody going to outwork me. I mean, I just wouldn't leave. He said, you're not going to leave unless I hire you. I mean, I don't care what he said to me. He get mad. I said, I'm telling you right now, I'll work. I said, I don't care what you need done right here. I'm going to do it. I even thought, I got five kids. I said, man, with five kids, you think he's going to work? I said, I got an old lady at the house. Man, I can't go back without a job. That was a little bit of a lie there, but it was a possibility. It could have happened. And he hired me around the spot. I'm telling you, God's fixing to wake this place up. David says, watch this, and this is it. We're coming to a place. God's fixing to touch several people in this church, and God's going to give us a favor, going to anoint our lives, and we're going to start believing God for our families. Sunday night is going to be incredible. You bring some pictures of people, and or if you don't have pictures, bring it on your phone. If you don't have it on your phone, you write their names down, piece of paper. You bring some anointing oil. Go down the store, buy olive oil. God will turn it into special oil. That's what the Bible talks about in the book of James. We're going to pray over that oil. Bring handkerchiefs, cloths, anything that God speaks to you to do. And don't think that God can't do great things. God spoke to me one time and said to get five prayer cloths, and I have specialized prayer cloths that when I'm in my car, I have them with me. And the Lord said, you're the five people I'm going to give these cloths to tonight. And so this one lady, and I told her, I said, come here, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give you cloth. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for this cloth. I'm going to pray for you, and you go do what God tells you to do with this cloth. And so she had cancer. I said, you got cancer, don't you? And she said, I do. I said, you got it. It's in your back, isn't it? She said, yeah, it's in my back. I said, is some of it wrapped around your spine area? She said, yes. And I said, well, you do what God tells you. I didn't tell her what to do with it. I just said, I prayed. She went home. She knelt down by the bed, and the Lord spoke to her heart. She laid it on the bed, on the top of the sheet. And she laid down on that, slept on that cloth that night. And she woke up the next morning, throwed her feet over the bed, and all of a sudden she felt something different in her back. And she turned and looked, and there was her cancer dried up and dead, laying on that cloth. And that happened in Oklahoma. Come on. If it can happen in Oklahoma, it can happen anywhere. And you know what I'm talking about. So she comes to church that night, and she says, Brother Winslow, this is what happened. She tells me. She said, I want to show you this cancer. I said, oh, no, you're not. I'm not getting to McDonald's tonight and getting some nuggets, and all I can see is the cancer. You're not messing my spaghetti up. I get ready to eat spaghetti, and all I can see is an old ugly cancer up in my spaghetti. I'm not eating a chicken fried steak, and all I can think about is a dead old dried up cancer. I said, you wait till I'm not here and show everybody. But you're not showing it to me, girlfriend. I said, if it was me, I'd flush it in a commode and say, good riddance. But she said, I mean, my back is just a little pink in the area, but there's no indentions, there's no scarring, there's nothing there. Huh? God can do anything if you just have the faith, if you give God just a little bit of fight. Come on, surprise the devil. I'm talking to somebody. Surprise the devil and say, I am not living in the ashes of my defeat anymore. I'm not living in my failures. I'm not living in my sins of yesterday. I'm not allowing my children to go to hell. I'm releasing this right now in Jesus' name. Everybody lift your hands. I'm releasing this right now. I'm releasing this message right now to everybody in this building. I'm releasing it to everybody. Everybody stand up. Everybody get your hands up. Start praying. I'm releasing this to everybody in this building right now in Jesus' name. Quick, 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 quick. Get your hands up. The anointed 5 minutes is about to hit this place. I'm talking to... 22 people that's been feeling like everything's passed you by. Your family's not living for God. You're not being blessed. But God said, you're leaving the ashes. You're walking out of it right now. You're not going to live in the burned out house and the burned out dimension and the burned out spirit that you've been in the last few years and months. But I am bringing you out now. Quick, run to this altar. Quick, musicians, run up here to your instruments. Run, everybody. Don't walk. Run up here right now and throw your hands up here in Jesus' name and say, I'm leaving the ashes right now. Come on. Come on. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're not living in that anymore. Your feet are not going to be filled with the blackened ashes of defeat. Your nostrils are not going to breathe in the ashes of yesterday's battles. It's over. It's finished. It's done. You're walking on new ground. You're walking in a new dimension. Quit making problems for yourself. Stop repeating the doubt. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored of God. I'm not perfect, but I've got somebody's fixing to let go. I'm telling you, somebody is going to let go of the ashes. Accept your forgiveness. Tell God, I'm not perfect, but I'm in love with you. I'm not perfect, but I'm called to do a work for you. I'm not perfect. Somebody's fixed to get the Holy Ghost. I feel it right now. I feel it right now. Somebody's fixed to pray through.